Hello, fellow riveteers. I am Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and welcome to another podcast. And you might have heard the quality improvement. It's because the Big Day sound recording studio has improved considerably, thanks to Rob giving me a new microphone. So you might be able to hear me in the PC line world of digital quality, as opposed to the headphones I was using before. So I can now use hand movements that you can't see. But never mind. We shall continue with the podcast in a Jonathan Pierce style of completely random quotes. And as always, I shall reflect upon the battles. And I've just finished watching it on the iPlayer, as they call it. Move the microphone slightly forward. So, on to week four, the first group battle. We had Supernova, we had Frostbite, who only cost £500, is reminiscent of a 101. So we got Worm as well, and High Five, who looked quite nice. They have the great team spirit there of using the literal high five together in the promo, which looked quite nice. I had some high hopes for them. Didn't get very far, unfortunately. They didn't take much damage, but the hit from Supernova took them out. And Supernova just ruled the first battle, really. He ripped apart Frostbite, who amazingly survived to go through to the next round. But Worm basically drove themselves out of the contest completely. So Supernova looking impressive and Frostbite going through more by luck than anything else, really. And on to group battle number two, we had Crustacean, who, much like Supernova, Crustacean, returners from the old series. We had Ironside 3 from last series as well. Apex, who are former Foxic teammates, and with their 37-kilo spinner, that's monstrous. And will it do any damage? Well, we'll find out. And then Pulsar, of course, from the last series too, who have some history with Ironside 3, who were the previous finalists as well, but are completely redesigned, and with components from drones. So that's all very interesting from Pulsar. A lot of work and dedication has gone into it. As Aradara says, only here on Robot Wars will you see a fight between three huge sprinters and a crab. That sounds something a bit like Alan Partridge there, so we'll just leave that one on the side. And here's a running theme for you for the rest of the show, Shunt, which turns up in a lot of these fights. We might see a few more titanium-tipped bricks coming down on some robots here. Sorry, I like to quote that from Jonathan Pierce. It might be something of a running theme here. They all build up their spinners to start with, so it's a bit slow going. But Ironside 3 decided to take out Crustacean, and the poor guys didn't get the chance to show off their claws, which are quite cool. I mean, they've had the kinetic moving gloves for a while now, but it's always nice to see them in the show. Pulsar managed a great combo hit on Apex, which I thought was excellent. Poor Apex, who were my favourites to go through, just because that spinner looked incredible. Just didn't get up to speed. Or rather, just didn't get a chance to hit anyone because Pulsar just got underneath them. And there wasn't much external damage on any of the robots. I mean, Crustacean, alright, they had a bit of a loss of external armour, but that could be replaced. Ultimately, Ironside 3 and Pulsar looked quite impressive in the group battles. So on to the head-to-heads. So first we had Supernova versus Frostbite, and this could be curtains, and it turns out it is. Supernova described their weapon as a Disc of Doom, which works quite well, really. It's a great little marketing tool for them. Shunt, this is becoming something of a shunt fest. And Supernova looked a bit uncontrollable to start with. Some poor control though from Frostbite would have ended them anyway, even if they had survived the battle. That's a bit of a spoiler alley. Well, if you haven't seen this already, Supernova starts by taking out the front of Frostbite, then the side, then they come back to the weapon, take it out off as well. Finally, they wait for Frostbite to be immobilized completely before they go turn heel, to borrow a wrestling phrase, and take out the back of Frostbite for good measure, taking out the speed controller with it. And turns out the damage is terminal. Sorry. And looks like they're not coming anywhere out of this arena. And they end up being knocked out. The driver of Frostbite, good quote here, "We've got a bit of a bodge job to do, lads." That was the end of Frostbite. The next head-to-head, Pulsar versus Ironside 3. Pulsar demonstrating in the pits that it actually, there's a lot more attention focused on the pits this time, but the sheer amount of complicated electrics going into these things, they managed to burn out on their speed controllers in Pulsar before they even get into the arena. Can Pulsar overcome this adversity? Of course, in the last series, Pulsar took out Ironside 3. It's a good omen for Pulsar, even with the compromise of losing a B controller. Ironside and started going into the CPZ, which was a very poor driving to begin with. Ironside opens the pit, though. Pulsar ended up dancing with Sir Killalot after hitting Ironside the first time. Pulsar then pushed Ironside and They're just overall, they're just pretty dominant. Ironside just keeps going on the flipper, and both of them turn off the weapons and go for a bit of a pushing match. Again, Pulsar have the upper hand there. But unfortunately, though, Pulsar's drive goes, though, after their pushing match for some reason. And yeah, they end up in front of Sakillot, one of the worst times you can lose your drive. They get flamed for a bit from Sakillot barbecuing them. They self-right, but they're still having issues. And then Ironside 3 come in for a hit there. And then after this, there's controversy because Ironside think they've had Pulsar counted out because their counter hasn't been cancelled by the judges. Cease has not been called, and the judges think that Pulsar's still moving a bit. Although they are just moving on the spot and they've only lost. They're using their weapon to try and move because one wheel has been immobilized and only one wheel is moving. So they're just spinning around with the sheer power of that spinner letting them move around. But Ironside just they're spinning perfectly mobile and they could have delivered a decisive blow here. But their cease is finally called and Fessenal Sharky explains that the countdown clock was cancelled by himself, but Pulsar was still technically mobile. And hypothetically, could have won on points at this point. The Ironside were let down by a technical fault in the arena. I'm not going to look at the reflect on the Reddit Q&A that they've been having on the forums. But at the end of the day, that's a bit of a cock up from Robot Wars there. Much like the pit not being strong enough to take some robots here and getting them caught on the pit edge. This is something that they need to work on. Bit like a Formula One team when something goes wrong, I think they just have to reflect back and hope this doesn't happen again. They even had to refer to the rule book to look at this. And ultimately, on the bright side for both robots, neither of them took that much damage. It could have been a lot worse for Pulsar in terms of damage taken from Ironside. And for Ironside, that battle could have gone very differently. Pulsar had the upper hand there, and they could have easily lost 2 points there. And that's crucial towards the end of this show. So considering the power these two had, this is perhaps something of a reprieve for both teams when you look on it. So now we shall move on to the third head-to-head, and that's Pulsar versus Supernova. And again, we've got Shunt. Again, something of a Shunt fest here. I know I've said it before, but oh well. The Supernova turn around and try and turn up their power, but they're destroyed by Pulsar, who managed to get an incredible hit on Supernova, who just goes spinning and flipping around. They lose their weapon power as a result. Pulsar managed to then just nudge the drive out of Supernova, moving for a few seconds after the hit. That is a good win for Pulsar, but I'm a bit numb after that. Supernova are in trouble there. There's a nice segment with Dr. Lucy Rogers talking about the armour, differences of polyethylene, which is ideally your cutting board stuff that you use in your kitchen at home, from wood up to aluminium, steel, and hardox, which is your tank armour. I did get that confused. I have to apologise to our mates down south. I did say that Hardox wasn't the tank armor that they were talking about, but it is. So, yeah, sorry about that, Will. And Head-to-Head 4, Frostbite versus Ironside. Frostbite had to be replaced by Worm due to the damage. Although I forgot to mention that earlier in the fight between Frostbite and Supernova, that Supernova's chain actually, when it picked up a bit from Frostbite, there were lots of sparks coming in from that disc, and there was a lot of sparks there. And if that touched the lithium battery, that could have easily have caused a fire. And this reminded me of Tikiya's song back from the late noughties and early tens, 5 or 6 years ago, of sticks and stones may break my bones, but whips and chains excite me. To which you may add so much so that I might catch fire on that one. So Supernova got away with that. But coming back to the fourth head-to-head, the Frostbite is just far too much damage. They have no extra speed controllers that can work with them. So Ironside now face Worm instead, which is leads you to question how on earth they choose who goes through to replace robots here. There's a lot of random elements here that they're just not telling us about, alongside the Dial of Doom and how they work out the judges' criteria. That's all for another day. Let's actually get into the battle here. They've got Ironside taking off the lifting wedge straight away, and another appearance by Shunt here, who hits the top of Worm. Although Worms still are moving quite well despite the damage they take here, and they lose both their wheels in the end. Ironside briefly trapped by the pit again, another case of the pit not being strong enough to hold robots, even though it's not been activated. JP comes up with a quote here, Adam Lewis, a man called Ironside. I'm just going to leave that. And that again. Although Worm have a quite a funny one here. All the finesse of an angry badger referring to her own robot here. So now onto the fifth head-to-head here. We've got Worm versus Pulsar. To quote Crichton, I think, which is appropriate from the second Emo Hawk from Series 5 when Lister gets married off to the Guelph. Oh dear. Although we do have Dead Metal making an appearance here, and Matilda rather than Shunt, and trying to edge themselves in here that we're still here. We're still here. So Polestar starts by smoking heavily, and Worm actually does quite well for about 20 seconds until Dead Metal gets hold of them. And then Polestar just stay out of trouble, really, wait for Worm's lifter to get stuck underneath them, and they are out. Polestar didn't have to do too much here. I think they got one hit in, and we see an image of, or we see a clip of, the Worm team throwing Worm into the bin because they just have. There's no way they're gonna repair that. Well, they could repair the robot, but there's no real point. It's been shown the welding is not really the way forward to hold your robot together, it seems. Now, the final head-to-head, the decider, Ironside versus Supernova. This is a winner-takes-all bout here, so we have another in-pit analysis from Andrew and Dara interviewing the teams before they go in. We have another, and guess what? Another shunt appearance with Sir Kill-a-Lot. Which perhaps robot would you like to drive around the arena? I'm personally a fan of Matilda. I used to have a bit of a soft spot for Matilda, despite the fact she was absolutely rubbish in the old series. And now she's been absolutely beefed up. You can flip the other two house robots, except Sir Kill-a-Lot, and you've got a nasty flywheel as well. Although, back in the old day, she did have a nice chainsaw, which added to her character, but ultimately wasn't that effective, really. So anyway, back to the fight. Yes, so we had Ironside and Supernova. Both managed to hit each other exact the same time. Supernova seems to come off worse, though, with a wheel getting a bit stuck. But it managed to ride the Ironside hit reasonably well otherwise. However, the second hit managed to make the wheel a bit more stuck, and Ironside managed to go for the other wheel with some good tactics there. It seems to be reasonably controllable, actually, Ironside, considering it's got massive momentum causing bar. Shunt hits Supernova, and the chain comes loose as a result because Shunt hit the disc, and that's caused the chain to buckle, and it comes off. And finally, Supernova are immobilized, which is a shame because either down's a wild card entry. And so now we have Ironside taking on Pulsar. More controversy coming up? We shall find out. So Pulsar seems to be carrying more damage again, much like Supernova were, and as Angela says, this episode's all been all about the stored kinetic carnage. I have gone so numb from from watching so many spinners here today. Although there's not actually been that much carnage, with the exception of Worm Frostbite, who were just taken apart really by the spinners. It's demonstrated actually the armor these days is actually pretty good. If you can if you have the budget to afford defenses, go for it. Then you have to just focus on making sure your electrics aren't throwing about too much. If you can survive the recoil from your own weapon, then great, go for it. So, Ironside goes first and hits Pulsar. Both machines are struggling to control each other or to get some control over their own machines, but Pulsar tries a side hit on Ironside, but they get knocked out in the process. So, Ironside are just going all over Pulsar now, getting the frustration out from the controversy of the previous fight they had, and that is what you would call stress relief. And then finally, Shunt and Sir Kill-a-Lot go on Pulsar after the cease is called. So, my thoughts on this battle is a bit of a shunt favouritism there. Some cross wires, to refer to the controversy. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but whips and chains excite me so much that I might catch fire. And that one, overall, it was nice that they're reflecting on the sheer amount of carnage that you can cause on the robot, but it's not probably not one of my favourite episodes, even though I'm a fan of spinners over flippers. And yeah, I don't know. It's Ironside look quite good. I mean, they're maybe not the most powerful spinner, but they seem to have the right balance of recoil damage, controllability to some extent, and actual power with their spinner. So they are a surprise. I think a surprise candidate, and they could win this series. And so let me know what you think about the shunt favoritism there. Did they do that on purpose, or are they, or did they just simply forget that in the grand scheme of things, that in recording these episodes, that shunt would accidentally end up being on 8 out of 9 fights here? So I have been Ali, the driver of Big Day 3, and thank you for listening on this brand new microphone.